You're listening to That's Life here at the Nahum Segal Network. And before I introduce my guest, or I say before I welcome my guest on the air, I already have to apologize to my guest. And I will explain why. Rabbi Kenny Brander, the president of Or Torah Stone, is not only a trusted friend, both personally and professionally here at the Nahum Segal Network, but is somebody we truly admire. And I asked Rabbi Brander to join me on the air to discuss Yad LaIsha, which is an arm of OTS, and we will discuss their efforts on behalf of Agunot in just a few moments. And in making that invitation or extending that invitation, Rabbi Brander agreeing to join me, as he will in just a few moments, I was obviously certainly excited. For some reason or another, that of which I can get into but don't need to, I was then the target of some very aggressive and harassing emails and social media posts in which I was criticized for having a man on to discuss the Aguna crisis. And I received a very angry, almost belligerent email in which I was asked, why do you have to have a man? Why a rabbi? Can't you get a woman? And a number of very well-spoken women were suggested to me to come on to speak about the Aguna crisis. Now, for those of you who have listened and been listeners here at That's Life for many years, you know that Keshet Star, who's the executive director of Ora, has been on many times, and she's always welcome here. And Rabbi Jeremy Stern, yes, Rabbi Jeremy Stern, who was the previous executive director of Ora, joined me on the air a number of times as well. And so what I had prepared to do in response to this this harassment, frankly, was ask Rabbi Brander, knowing his extensive work against Agunot, support of the resolution of the Aguna crisis is definitely a better way to put this, extensive work for Agunot. I sort of wanted to begin our discussion to explain why he's the right guy, not the only right guy, but certainly one of the right voices, a qualified voice to discuss this issue. And then I frankly realized I was an idiot. So I had played right into the ridiculous narrative that so many important issues are getting mired in our lifetime these days, in current events. So many issues get lost in these optics instead of focusing on the issue itself. And Rabbi Brander need not defend nor explain his background, because his advocacy is not only decades long, but it speaks for itself. And I got caught up in the madness in which many of us find ourselves right now. And instead of losing focus on what's important, and that is the resolution of Agunot, and that is the issue at hand, instead of getting lost in the mud, getting stuck in the mud, I am staying focused on what's important. And with that, I welcome Rabbi Brander to the air. Rabbi Kenny Brander is president and Rosh Yeshiva of the Or Torah Stone Network of 30 educational institutions, leadership development initiatives, outreach endeavors, women empowerment programs, and social action projects. He's a noted educator and innovator, a community cultivator with critical experience in creating, developing, and maintaining religious institutions of learning and leadership. Rabbi Brander joined OTS in 2018, and prior to that, he had served as vice president for university and community life, as well as the inaugural David Mitzner Dean of the Center for the Jewish Future at Yeshiva University, where he taught rabbinic courses at REITs. And in his capacity as vice president and as dean, Rabbi Brander focused on improving all aspects of student life experience, in particular global service learning and Israel advocacy, personal and virtual engagement with Jewish communities and their lay and rabbinic leadership around the world, in addition to restructuring the GPATS program, the graduate program of advanced Talmudic studies for women. Rabbi Brander came to YU after 14 years of serving as the senior rabbi of the Boca Raton Synagogue, overseeing its expansive growth from 60 families to more than 600 families. And as part of that, or in addition to that, that fast modern Orthodox growing community he is credited with building key institutions to support Jewish life in that region. And we will discuss his involvement with Yad LaIsha in a moment. But first, welcome Rabbi Brander to That's Life.
Thank you very much for having me, Miriam.
Absolutely.
Pleasure to be here.
Thank you. Absolutely a pleasure to have you. You know, before we get into Yad L'Isha, I would love to just take a step back. I've recently heard a story of when you were at the Boca Raton Synagogue and there was a specific issue of an Aguna situation that had come up in your shul, and how even before Ora existed, and even before everyone was required to sign prenups and certain, shall we say, elements were in place, you were already prepared and did use your shul and the elements in your shul and the tools in your shul to help resolve an Aguna situation. I have a feeling you know what I'm talking about. I wonder if you would discuss it.
Okay, well, first of all, thank you very much. But if I could just actually take a step back for a second before I respond to that. First of all, I think it would be great for you to have many voices to discuss the Aguna issue, and I think it would be great to have more women to discuss it. I welcome you to have the head of our Yad L'Isha program, who is currently dealing with 608 cases of Agunot right now, Pnina Olmert. And we have 7 women advocates, the first time in halachic history that we have 7 women who are able to go in front of the Batei Din, in front of the Israeli rabbinical courts, and women representing women. And my job is simply to be the guy who helps orchestrate these wondrous women and what they're able to do to remove the scourge of a Chilul Hashem. Aguna issues are a Chilul Hashem. It's the responsibility of every Jew to help do whatever they can. And I think that it's important to have both men and particularly important to have women. And one of these days, we should have some of the Toanot. I have to make sure they actually speak English because I've never spoken to them in English before. But you should hear how these women who have law degrees as well as recognized by the Rabbanut as experts in Hilchot Gitin that we have trained represent women. They have the most difficult cases in front of the Batei Din.
Oh my God.
But to get back to you, get back before that, I think, again, it's important to couch it that, you know, I was trained at Yeshiva University to be a Rav, and Rabbi Soloveitchik, when he trained us in Shir, reminded us that the most important job of a Rav that he learned from his grandfather, Rav Chaim of Brisk, is to make sure that those that don't have a voice, the rabbi speaks for. Mm. Whether it's the indigent, whether it's the poor, whether it's the various different challenging groups, Rav Chaim of Brisk was known for his house to be a place that if a child born out of wedlock was born to in the European Jewish community, they could deposit that child on his doorstep, and he would make sure that they were taken care of for the rest of his life. Mm. Now, I think that one of those responsibilities, as I was taught by my teacher, is to speak out against Agunot. So from the beginning of my really privileged experience at Boca Raton Synagogue, with a group of lay people, we made for certain rules before it was fashionable. First of all, anyone who doesn't give his wife a get, his name gets announced from the pulpit. Mm. In addition to not getting a Leo and stuff like that, his name would get announced from the pulpit. Secondly, no events, no weddings can happen at Boca Raton Synagogue without a prenuptial being signed. Mm. And then when I came to YU, I worked actually with Jeremy Stern, with Rabbi Jeremy Stern, before Keshet Star, who's unbelievable. Mm-hmm. She's unbelievable, and I work with her now. I created a program for Jeremy as part of my work at YU to make sure he had the proper guidance, to make sure he had a strategic planner that worked with him to develop Ora. And we worked together to get myself included, as well as other Rosh Yeshivas, to sign a note saying that we will not perform a wedding without a prenuptial agreement. If you go on Ora's website, you will see that there's a list of Rosh Yeshiva. I happen to be signed on that list because I went around from every Rosh Yeshiva asking them to sign it, so they asked me where my signature was, so it's there, it's there. But the bottom line is that I think it's critically important for every human being, and I think the case you may be referring to is that it's It's more than 25 years ago. Boca Raton Synagogue had just built the first mikvah in Palm Beach County. There was no mikvah from Hollywood, Florida to Orlando, you know, 150 miles or so. And we built the mikvah in Boca Raton, Florida. And there was a couple who the husband was a complete lowlife, and he wasn't giving his wife a get. And I actually had grown up with these two individuals. They migrated from New York, as we had. And it was getting to be a real challenge that he wasn't willing to give his wife a get. So I asked permission. I thought it was obvious, but I wanted to make sure, since we were the only mikvah in town. I spoke to Rabbi Schechter, and I asked, I would like to close the mikvah every other night until this person gives his wife a get, with a sign on the front door of the mikvah that says, how can we engage in Shalom Bayit when there is a home in our community? This was when Boca Raton Synagogue was relatively small.
Right.
You know, maybe 140 families, something like that, not the 600 when I left. But the bottom line is, how can we engage in any form of intimacy between husband and wife when there is a person holding his wife hostage? Mm. And I remember sending him this sign, telling him, it was before emails, faxed him this thing and said, this will be on the mikvah door tonight. And within an hour of him, of me sending him this, he signed what's called a kisfu tenu, giving me the permission to be able to speak to the Beis Din of America to write an immediate get for his wife, who I then, several years later, had the privilege of being Mesader Kedushin for when she remarried. And Baruch Hashem, actually, they now live in Eretz Israel.
Amazing.
But the bottom line is, I think that that's our responsibility. I don't think it's heroic. I think it's just the obvious thing that we need to do. This is a tremendous Chilul Hashem. This is not just a women's issue, even though I have been called a feminist for having the largest Aguna advocacy organization in the Jewish world. But I dream, to get back to your fortune cookie, I dream to the point in time where it will no longer be necessary, because we will be able to end the scourge against women and against the whole responsibility that we have to be an ethical and moral people.
Amazing. What a story. What a story. And that's 25 years ago. I mean, were the words...
At least, yeah.
Right? Was the term prenup even on anyone's lips 25 years ago?
You know, I think actually the story is probably a little bit older than 25 years. I don't remember the exact, you know, I wasn't prepared for this. I don't remember the exact date. But the prenup is extremely critical, and we, you know, we owe so many people credit for that. First of all, the rabbis who won't perform weddings without it. Secondly, of course, Rabbi Willig and Rabbi Schechter and the Beis Din of America. I'm talking about in North America per se. And the fact now that the certain parts of the Haredi community are now creating their own prenups or using this one, as well as the Beis Din from America for choreographing. But I think the most important fact is that, to the best of my knowledge, at least when I checked it out a year ago, there is not one case, not one Aguna case for any couple that used the prenup. And that's why it's so important that we start using the prenup in the land of Israel.
That's incredible. You're listening to That's Life here at the Nachum Segal Network. I'm joined by Rabbi Kenny Brander, president of Or Torah Stone, and we are discussing the Aguna crisis. And in specific, we are now going to officially rope in or bring in Yad LeIsha, which is a division or an arm, I guess we could say, of Or Torah Stone. They assist Agunot. The organization assists Agunot in so many different ways, including with their legal aid center and their hotline, which began in 1997. But Yad LeIsha remains the largest, most comprehensive, and most experienced support center for Agunot in the world, providing not only legal support in the rabbinical and civil courts, but also the services of in-house social workers and personal coaches who support clients emotionally and empower them to rebuild their lives. I think that's such an important component, by the way, when we discuss the suffering of Agunot, is what happens after. Please God, we reach the point where they're after, and it is amazing to me that approximately 60 women annually through Yadli Isha's representation are able to gain their freedom. But Yadli Isha doesn't only, and I use the word, of course, only in quotation marks, italics, and bold, but they don't only help resolve aguna situations, but help provide them the support to live afterwards. What does life look like afterwards? You want women to understand that there is a life afterwards.
I mean, you're 100% correct. I mean, we do multiple different things, and we have to do more. First of all, we have private detectives. We have a series of private detectives. We don't keep them on staff because, first of all, it's too costly, and second of all, we need them all over the world. But we have private detectives looking for spouses that have gone underground. We have, as you mentioned, social workers, and we have multiple offices throughout Israel and have connections with holy institutions like ORA and others, so we work together on cases. And we have a bunch of volunteer business coaches who will take women and most of the time women with children who have unbelievable talents, whether it's in art, whether it is, whether they have a serious professional background, and they just need a little coaching to help them actualize their professional skills. And so we have business coaches that will work with them. And unfortunately, during COVID, approximately out of the 608, around 40 of them really didn't have food in the refrigerators. And we worked out a deal with Supersol that we would provide at a discounted rate food coupons or food, like cards, looked like a credit card, so no one really knew that they were on any special assistance. And we made sure that they had food throughout the whole year. But I think the most important thing that we have to really do is recognize the fact that we have to empower make sure these women realize that they're not alone. And to have seven women advocates representing Agunot in the Israeli rabbinical courts is amazing.
It is amazing.
And there are beautiful stories and there are tragic stories. Just in the past, few weeks, there was one man who had gone underground because he knew that people were looking for him. And in Israel, if you don't give your wife a get, and it could be proven that you're basically a ma'agein, a recalcitrant spouse, you can be put in jail. Not only that, but if you're supporting a recalcitrant spouse, you could actually be held in a way in which you can't leave the country.
Just in October, you had a situation where there was a husband who spent the night in jail, and the next morning gave his wife a get. That was covered by Arutz Sheva. That was an incredible story.
Yeah, but it's not just in October, on Pesach. And a few times in between. And there was a man who was going to the Maris HaMachpelah on Chol HaMoed. And there was just a security checkpoint he went through. And once in a while, they'll ask you for your identity card, your tudat zehut. They asked him for his identity card. They typed in his number. It flashed on that he's a recalcitrant spouse. he was arrested. It's Chol HaMoed. He was arrested. He didn't like the jail in Tel Aviv, and he agreed to give a get. The Dayanim, the Jewish judges, at our request, opened the Beit Din on Tel Aviv, which meant the following, that our women advocates, who it's their vacation time with all of their children, and the first time after COVID that they can actually go out, canceled their vacations. They went to the court. The Dayanim, who also have families, canceled their vacations. And they wrote a get on Chol HaMoed, which most Dayanim don't write anything on Chol HaMoed, let alone a get. And then we had that's a case where it shows a group of courageous women representing Or Torah Stones, Yadli Isha, the Monica Dennis Goldberg Legal Aid Center and Hotline, and the Batei Din Rabbani working together. But then there are also challenges. I received 2 weeks ago, or a little bit less than that, a 30-page tshuva that a judge wrote and said, listen, I don't think this woman needs a get. I think that her case is such that you can nullify the kedushin, you can nullify the marriage. But if I sign this tshuva, I will not be able to advance in my professional growth in the rabbinical court system. And so I'm handing you this tshuva that I wrote without my name on it. And Rabbi Brander, I know you're supportive of this, so why don't you sign it? So you have both sides of the coin, and most of the Jewish judges are in the middle. Our job is to work with them and, when necessary, hold them accountable, and when appropriate, to recognize their service and ending the Chilul Hashem.
It's unbelievable.
Part of that has to be that we need to create, we need to start promoting, and any of your listeners who have ideas for us, I would appreciate them. We need to promote the halachic prenup, which is not really used in Israel. Unbelievably, I don't understand why. And we have a halachic prenup that Rav Zalman Nechemia Goldberg, of blessed memory, signed. It follows the same halachic prenup of the Beis Din of America. So you have Gedolim of Rav Asher Weiss, Rav Herschel Schechter, and to separate between the living and those who have already passed on. Rav Avadi Yosef supported it. Rav Zimbalist supported it. We need to start promoting and teaching it. So, for example, we're discussing with the Army being able to go in there and promote the prenup. We're discussing, and we're starting to do it in Yeshivat Hezder. We're starting to do it in various high schools. Obviously, in our 6 high schools, we're starting to do it, so that's 4,000 students right there. We are starting to begin the process of promoting it, and we're actually working towards seeing if we can make it part of the religious day school, high school curriculum in Israel, just to discuss the notion of a prenup. But we're really in the embryonic stages of this. But we're starting to see some support, please God, we'll eliminate the confusion about this, and we'll work towards being proactive, not just reactive.
Well, Rabbi Brander, I'm in complete, Ein Li Milim is what comes to mind at the moment. The story of Chol HaMoed is a wonderful, I don't always say it, I usually say it tongue-in-cheek, but it's a wonderful Mika Amcha moment. Honestly, it makes me incredibly proud. I'm in awe. I'm in awe of the mechanism that came into that went into effect in order to free that woman. And I give everyone involved in Yad LaIsha and everyone who's involved in the in resolution of the Aguna crisis so much credit. It really is God's work. It really is God's work, because this is not what God wants. And I applaud you and thank you on behalf of, I'm not going to sit here and thank you on behalf of women. I'm going to thank you on behalf of the Jewish people, because you deserve our thanks. And I appreciate your hard work. I appreciate your hard work for decades. May you continue to do God's work. And may the next time we speak, may this all be over.
Thank you very much. That's a wonderful bracha to have, and I take your brachot very seriously. And I thank you for all that you do. The Nachum Segal Network is very well respected all over the Jewish world, and you guys make a major difference. I remember when Nachum was doing this when I was a student. When we were students at YU, through the YUR. If my memory serves me correctly.
Sure.
And you guys have just, you are the spokespeople for the Jewish people. So we thank you for that.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that very much. I wish you all the best. I look forward to speaking to you again soon, Rabbi Brander.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you so much. Whew, you've been listening to That's Life here at the Nachum Segal Network. What a bracha from Rabbi Brander. We should all continue to do God's work.